All right, Numbers chapter 27. Okay, Numbers 27. We're going to begin in verse number 12 tonight. We left off there in verse number 11 the last time. And here we see that Moses, God sets Moses aside. Now, one thing that came to my mind is I was, I'm working about three lessons ahead, you know, in preparation. And Moses is still mentioned later on in the book. And I'm thinking, all right, what's the deal here? So apparently some of this isn't in chronological order. So I guess we can just take that into account as we look at that. But here we see in verse number 12 that the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the Mount Abiram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against me, against my commandment, in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. All right, so as you look at your notes here, Moses has been leading the people for 40 years, and now God says it's time to come home, Moses. And you hit that rock, and you're not going to be able to go into the promised land because you disobeyed me. You know, it just shows us here the severity of the consequences of not doing right. Sometimes sin doesn't have severe consequences. Other times it has very severe consequences. And God doesn't want us to do wrong. And the little map here, the little bubble there with a point on the bottom, that shows you approximately where Mount Nebo or Abiram is located. You see the Dead Sea there and the Jordan River going up the middle and the Jordan Valley there, and the children of Israel had been camping down there in the Jordan Valley just north of the Dead Sea. And so now they're up, he goes up on this mountain, and that's where the Lord took him home. And we find there that the next verse, verse 15, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, and that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep with no shepherd. So Moses was concerned that the people would be left without a shepherd. And you know, instead of arguing with God, there would have been a temptation for him to say, but God, please let me go into the land. You know, I only did it once, and you know, all kinds of excuses like we would probably try to do. Moses didn't argue with God. He accepted it and said, okay, Lord, I accept that, but I don't want the people left without a shepherd. We need to set someone over them. And so he's burdened about that. He asks the Lord to help them with this. And then we see in verse number 18 that the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. All right, now let's just pause there for a moment. Significant thing here. He says that Joshua was a man in whom was the Spirit of God. Now, we remember in the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament did not have the indwelling Spirit of God like we do. Okay? A few of them received the Spirit of God for service. Sometimes it was for a lifetime of service. Sometimes it was for a period of service. But somewhere along the line here, God gave the Spirit to Joshua. And now Joshua has the Spirit of God upon him, and God says, he's the one I've chosen to take over this work. And as we read on there in verse number 20, or verse number 19, and set him before Eleazar the priest. All right, now who was Eleazar? Aaron's son. Okay, there's Aaron and then his son Eleazar. So Aaron's gone. Now Eleazar's the high priest. Before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Now that's a significant statement. Moses had led them for 40 years. They feared and respected Moses. They didn't always like the things that he did, but they knew that he was a powerful man with God. Many, many times, you know, they would have, some of them were little tykes back in Egypt, and would have saw all the plagues that Moses and Aaron called down from heaven upon the Egyptians, and would have remembered vaguely in their minds crossing the Red Sea as Moses had stretched his rod across it and it opened up the sea, and the miracles that he did, and then all through the wilderness of all the various things. Remember when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelled against God, and Moses prayed, and God opened up the ground in an earthquake and swallowed him up. And I mean, that had to have stuck in the minds of the people to have a severe enough earthquake. You think of that. I mean, I've been in a couple of earthquakes, but none big enough that would have broke ground open like that, enough to swallow people up and swallow them down. That would have been a mighty powerful earthquake. And everybody would have known that that happened. All these are in their minds. They can remember the things that Moses did and the power that he had with God. And so now God says you need to place some of that honor upon on Joshua so that he can take over the work and that they will obey him. Then in verse number 21, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord at his word. They shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. So what's he mean there that he would ask counsel after the judgment of the Urim?
The Urim and the Thummim.
Okay, the Urim and the Thummim, what were they?
Weren't they Bethlehems?
Nope. They were in the Bethlehem. No, they weren't jewels.
Stones?
Okay, there were some sort of stones, probably a couple different colored ones, possibly white and black. I don't think it specifies. And they were in a little pouch on the breastplate of the priest. And when he was making judgments, remember last week we talked about casting lots. Well, this is one of those kind of situations where they would pray, and he'd reach in, and he'd take one of them out, and it would be the answer that God gave them. All right, so he says here that he was to, Eleazar in front of all the people, was to be able to show them that after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord, and that this was God's choice. So is this God's choice that, you know, if it's God's choice, and I don't know, I'm reading into this a little bit, but let's just say there were white and black stones. And if he tells all the people, if it's God's choice that Joshua be the next leader, then when I reach in and with the Urim and the Thummim, it's going to be the white one. And it brings it up, and there it is. You know, and so all the people can see, yes, yes, it's God's choice. So it was a means of finding God's mind in this in a tangible way. In verse 22, and Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. They laid hands upon him and gave him the charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So they would have had a ceremonial time, and they're giving him this charge. All right. Now, I had mentioned, you know, that maybe things were out of order. It just dawned on me, you know, Moses hasn't died yet. You know, they're just preparations for all this. So maybe this was just days before. That, you know, maybe the chapters are not very long in duration. And so he's given him this information, says you're going to have to go up the mountain, and but it hadn't yet taken place for a number of chapters yet. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, let's flip over to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. You'll see why when we get there. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. And as we get into Joshua, chapter 1, this is after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. All right, so Joshua had been Moses' minister for many years. His right-hand man. And now he's the man in charge. And Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy feet, your feet, shall tread upon, That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. All right, now we'll stop there for the moment, so I can just take a look at our notes here and I don't miss anything. But as we look at this, it starts out in verse number 1 that the Lord spake unto Joshua. That's the significant thing. The Lord spake unto Joshua. So it's Jehovah God speaks to Joshua. And this seems like one of the first times that Joshua, now he's in charge, Moses is dead, and God says, Joshua, it's time for you to step up and be the leader. Now remember, how old would Joshua have been approximately at this time?
Seems like he used the next
line. Okay, so in my notes, yes, but I'm asking you if you remembered. All right, so
I do have.
Why would it be 80 years?
All right, so 40 years in the desert.
Yes, you were 40 years in the desert, and he was about 40 years old when they started, and he was one of the two that survived. He and Caleb were the only ones that survived. So they were the only two now that were 80 years old, and everybody else was 40 or younger. And so he is now the leader. God gives him direction in verses 2 to 9. We read down through verse number 5. So let's go to 6, 7, 8, 9. Be strong and of good courage, verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, do you see the phrase that he repeated three times? What was that phrase? Be strong and of good courage. You know, that tells us that Joshua was scared out of his wits. I mean, taken over from Moses, of all people. Moses was the most powerful man that had lived in that time. And powerful with God. And now Joshua is taken over and stepping in and taking his place. And again and again and again, in Deuteronomy 31:6, in your notes here, Deuteronomy 31:6, 7:23, and then Joshua here in 6:9, 18 and 25, he tells him, be strong and have good courage. Again and again, he's repeating this. And you remember that now these people, they're going in to conquer a nation, well, nations that had trained soldiers, walled cities. And who were these Israelites? For 40 years, they've been wandering around in the wilderness. Prior to that, they spent 400 years as slaves. They're not trained soldiers. We wonder maybe when they're resting in their wilderness places, they're, you know, using their sticks and they're playing games and sword fights and with their sticks. Who knows? I mean, you got to practice somehow. They may have been training some soldiers along the way just with whatever material they had. And then once they started conquering some of these enemies, of course, then they would get their weapons. But, you know, they were not prepared for this in the human sense of the word. And Joshua was scared. This was a fearful thing. The idea here that he was fearful, the word dismayed, be not dismayed. The word dismayed here I have in your notes that it's an action or a person that is broken in terror, fear, or dismay. It's the idea of being scared to death. So Joshua was extremely scared. He was terrified of what was ahead because of his lack of human ability and their the awesomeness of what they were conquering and what they were taking on. And in the midst of God's charge to Joshua, he placed great emphasis on the Bible. We see that in verse number 8. He says, this book of the law. Now, they didn't have the whole Bible. All they had was the first 5 books. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make the way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. So God was strongly emphasizing him, if you're going to be the leader that God wants you to be, you need to be in the book. You know, that's true for us. You know, we all are leaders in one way or another. God has called us men to be leaders in our families. The wives are to be leaders over the children or grandchildren. Even children, the older siblings, are to be leaders over the younger ones to help out in things. At work, you may be a leader. At church, you may be a leader. But as leaders, we are to be readers of God's Word. We need to know the book. Just today, I was listening to a sermon that was just really challenging, again, on that same line of spending time in the book. And we cannot spend too much time with God. We need to know the book inside and out that we might be able to live it and let it guide us. Because this is our mind. This is God's mind on how we are to live and what we are to do. Does God expect any less from us? I don't think so. You know, he said to Joshua, if you'll observe to do these things, I'm going to give you prosper. I'll prosper you and I'll give you good success. And I think that we can expect the same from us. If we'll spend a quality time with God, the scriptures will help us and strengthen us and encourage us. And they will be there to guide us and give us the wisdom we need. We cannot expect God's blessing and prosperity if we fail to be on this duty. Okay? And I hope that you have a regular time where you daily dig into the Word and let it feed your soul. But as we look at these verses here in Joshua, the several verses that talk about being strong and of good courage, being not afraid, you know, a lot of times we face things that are fearful. And, you know, we don't often talk of our fears. We try to, like, hide them and cover them up. It's not something you go bragging about that I'm a coward. You know, but at the same time, the truth of the matter is we all face fearful things. And it's important for us to admit that and run to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And with God's help, he says, be strong and of good courage. We don't need to be afraid if we're doing what God wants in God's way and we're being obedient to God. So we just look at some of the principles here. The consequences of sin are often painful. Moses longed to enter the promised land, but it wasn't allowed. And the devil often wants us to think that the consequences of sin won't take place. But he's a liar. We've got to remember that. How many times have we done things that we knew weren't right, but somehow we figured, well, everybody else does it, it'll be okay, and it won't matter. And we do it anyway, and then later on, we say, what in the world did I do that for? And the consequences sometimes can be very devastating, and so we need to be very cautious and very careful. There's a lot of people that are messing up their lives today in very, very serious ways. And sometimes they end up in big trouble even with the law. And they didn't intend to do anything that bad, but next thing you know, they have done something that was worthy of prison. And it messes up their lives. So, consequences of sin. Don't believe the devil, he's a liar. And then God wants you to, he wants you and me to be fearless leaders who are led by the Bible study. So spend that time in the scriptures, be a leader in your home, and meditate on the word and apply it to your lives. You know, one of the things that I've mentioned before, and I'll mention it again, I'm sure, that I find one of the most difficult parts of Bible study is meditation. And I would guess that most Christians find the same thing. What do we mean by meditating? Well, you read over a passage, let it soak into your heart, you find something that can feed your soul, and then to constantly focus on that and think about that and ponder over that and let it dwell in your heart, let it sink in, let it go over and over so you can really think about what was God saying there. A lot of times we just read it and say, well, that was a nice verse, that was encouraging, and we go on and we, an hour later, we don't even really remember what we read. And I know I struggle with that. So meditating on the scriptures is very, very important. He says here that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And that's what's going to help us. And then when facing overwhelming and fearful events, God wants us to depend on Him and on His Word for strength and courage. So, very important for us to keep those things in mind. Okay. Any comments or questions on these?
The last line of verse 18, only be strong of good courage. Who said that to whom?
Of chapter 1 of Joshua.
Joshua, yes. Verse 18.
Who would you say it was?
I'm asking you.
Well, I didn't read.
It says, and they answered Joshua, saying, I mean, was that a million people chorusing the thing together, or was there some leader appointed to be speaking on their behalf? And so they're answering Joshua, and they tack on the end, only be strong and good courage. Good courage, which is what the Lord had been saying to.
Okay, back up in verse 12, it says, and the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake unto Joshua, saying. So we know who that was.
Right, but not verse 16. And they answered Joshua.
Yes. Well, so is it possible that it's the same guys?
Again, were they all chanting together, or was there one of them speaking? But either way, whoever was answering said to Joshua, only be strong and of good courage.
Okay.
Which was nice. I'm just sort of wondering who said it. And I was sort of repeating what God had said to Joshua.
He just said, we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you.
Yes, and all that. Blah, blah, blah. We'll be good. We'll do as you say.
Well, it
but
could
then
be.
There's like an instruction to Joshua back again from the people that are answering.
So it very well could be, you know, just like it is today. You have one speaker that speaks for the mob. And you know,
by the way, I just thought it was interesting and nice that they sort of went back to Joshua and said, only be strong and of good courage. It's actually a command to Joshua from them.
So they're encouraging him to be strong, yes.
Well, perhaps that council, there was a council here that was witness to the selection of Joshua.
But it was the people saying, basically the people saying it back to him again, wasn't it? They've heard God saying to him, be strong and courageous, and they're saying, yeah, be strong and courageous.
Yeah, it does seem that that's what it is, Ruth. I think you're right. So, okay, good. Any other thoughts or observations? Good.